There's a party. Here's Bridget in her blender. Glad she could make it.
And welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus on this Friday. Finally, it's Friday. 1:06 in the afternoon. I want to thank everybody for joining us. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our wonderful, talented Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. How you feeling today, Bridget? Any better?
Doing just fine.
I mean, sounded good.
I realize. Yeah, I've had some listeners say, I don't know what that is you've got, but I don't want it. And I don't know what it is, but we're gonna be fine. I'm not too worried.
Good.
It'll go away sooner or later.
Good deal. Yeah. It always does.
Yeah, absolutely. So much going on, though. It's warming up nicely outside, even though we have cloud cover, which I find unusual.
Yeah, we can't seem to buy sunshine. I mean, it's just, we've been stuck in the clouds here for the last week. I don't see a whole lot of sunshine over the next week. We'll have a little bit tomorrow and then a little bit later next week as high pressure builds in. But then we kind of go back into that cloudy regime as we're starting to go into what looks like the stormier part of our LRC cycle. Starting, today's the 6th, so that would be about the 13th, 14th, all the way through about the 23rd of the month. Now, does that mean we're going to get hit with every one of those storms? No, but our latest medium range models are starting to concur with what the LRC has been forecasting for the last month, that we're going to start going into that above normal precip mode. So we'll see how that pans out. I know we still need some snow cover, some moisture around the area. We're still below normal, so every little bit helps. And we do have moisture in the forecast as we head into this upcoming weekend, mainly on Sunday, but it's going to be a mild one. Today, we're about where we're at, upper 20s to low 30s. We're not going to move much from there. And then as we head into tomorrow, we'll see a few breaks in the clouds. A pretty decent day overall. Highs in the low 40s tomorrow with southwest winds about 10 to 20. And then as we head into Sunday, a storm system will pass to our north into southern Canada. That means we're on the warm side of it with west winds. We'll warm up into the upper 30s on Sunday, but then we'll see rain come in the afternoon, and that exits by evening, and then we'll see colder air funnel in for Sunday night into Monday, leading to a little bit of light snow. Not worried about much in the valley here, or at least in the FM area. Now, the further north you go, if you go north of Highway 200 into northwestern part of the state, northeastern part of the state, sorry, and northwestern Minnesota, those areas could get some snowfall accumulation on order of a few inches. But other than that, we are going to be a little too far south and too warm. So mainly rain, and it doesn't even look like a lot, a tenth of an inch or less. So enough to kind of melt away a lot of the ice on some of these side residential areas and stuff like that before a couple shots of snow during the week next week. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. Again, doesn't look like anything big, but we need the moisture, so every little bit helps. We'll take it.
Oh, well, it does, but for she who has to be driving on the road Monday, this sounds like this could be icy road conditions for some of us. Should I be a little more cautious?
I don't think it's anything really to worry about. The morning commute might have a few scattered slippery spots. Any snow we get's less than an inch, but you know how that goes because it's a lot of these smaller snow events, you know, the half inch to inch ones. Those are the ones that it kind of greases things up a little bit. So I don't think it'll be too bad.
You do know what my response is going to be if I ever get into a car accident. But Dean Wysocki said the roads were fine.
Hey, he said the roads were okay. It's only a half inch of snow.
Wait till I tell my agent that.
Well, remember though, it's not your fault. It's the other car's fault. That's what you got to tell.
No, it's your fault. That's what I'm telling you.
Oh, you think so? Okay. Well, yeah, you tell your agent that. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah. My weather guy said the roads are going to be fine.
Right.
And then I had this accident. So really, it's on him. It's all about liability.
Sure. No problem. I'm sure that'll fly. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that'll fly.
Yeah, they'll keep that in mind. Oh, goodness. Now, all right. So speaking of things. Oh, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
I was just going to say the roller coaster ride, these two warm days we have right now, don't get used to it. Like I said, then the next week to 10 days, it looks like we'll have temperatures at or below normal. So that's good news for our ice anglers. Not good news really for, well, again, I don't see any big storms. There's something cooking, and this lines up with the LRC too. There's something cooking between the 18th and the 20th. for the central and northern plains. Our models have been all over it, but if it follows what we're thinking from cycle one, it's going to be a close call somewhere between the 18th and the 20th for our area or down or just to our south into areas of South Dakota and Minnesota. So put that on your calendar. Okay. Something's cooking that time. Yeah, please tell me.
Looking at mine.
Please tell me you're not traveling during that time period. Because it would just be your luck.
Nowhere really far away right now.
Right.
Say that.
All right, good.
But I'm going to keep it in mind.
All righty.
Because that's my new get out of jail free card. But the weather guy said it wasn't going to be bad.
After Christmas.
The look on your face
after
is like, whatever,
after
lady.
Christmas. After Christmas, it does it does get better. Oh, also want to invite any of our ag listeners. If you're going to, I know there's a lot of people from all over the Midwest going down there. But next week I'll be heading down to Lincoln, Nebraska, old stomping grounds. I'm going to be one of the guest speakers down there at the Nebraska Ag Expo. So if you are down there next Wednesday, I'll be speaking from 11 to 11:45. Stop over and say hi. And, we're going to be teaching the ag community on down there on the benefits of the LRC and the benefits and how it can help our ag community. So if you're going to be down in that area, swing on by and say hello.
Well, interesting enough, you'll be on the road in Nebraska. I personally I'm not able to join you because I will be on the road in South Dakota. I will be attending the South Dakota Cattlemen's Association's annual convention in Pierre. I will be joining them Tuesday and Wednesday next week. And they have what they're calling a theme of land and legacy. And we're going to talk with a number of folks that they'll have there as guest speakers, talking about some of their pasture management ideas. Also, leadership roles. There'll be a whole panel on doing more as far as community leadership, state leadership within the state of South Dakota, etc. Mark Isley, who is the national president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, who's a rancher out of Wyoming. Mark will be joining that crowd for 2 days while down there. They also will be giving away their Leopold Conservation Award winner. There's a president's auction. There's a roping contest, not with a live cow, but I got to see it last year. There's a little plastic dummy, and I think I know I have the pictures of it. I don't know if I have the video. But it's on an air compressor, and the roping dummy comes shooting out of a little chute, and you have to try to rope it. And the dummy and the chute aren't that big. I'll see if I can send Addison a picture to go in our live stream. But I got to ride on the little dummy in the chute. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, so it's just a little roping dummy. So those are some fun things that'll be happening while I'm down in Pierre for 2 days next week. Looking forward to that.
Excellent. Well, wait. Also, if you're not here and I'm not here, Who's going to run the ship here?
Through the magic of multimedia, that's where we rely on Addison, that guy who's the brain box of the whole operation over there in the control room.
Mom, it's my time to shine.
It's your time to shine.
Right. Can't hardly wait to see how you handle the pressure, Addison. If we call in sick, you've got this, pal. I know it.
At least one of us believes in me.
I do. All right. Don't forget to mark your calendars. Governor-elect Kelly Armstrong will be hosting his inauguration ball on January 18th out in Bismarck at the Bismarck Civic Center. Now, Kelly Armstrong has a lot of ties to American Legion baseball, not only as a coach, but at once upon a time as a player. And so there will be a baseball theme to it. But he's also decided that there will be two charities who are going to benefit from this event. There'll be hors d'oeuvres and music. It's actually a free event. But if you attend, you are asked to bring a non-perishable food item for the Great Plains Food Bank. Number one, that seems like a great idea, especially after we get just post-holiday. Food bank needs don't end after Christmas. In fact, January is one of their months that they need some of the most help that they can get. So bring a non-perishable food item for them. But also, bring your extra dollars. The North Dakota FFA Foundation is the second charity who will benefit from the inaugural ball. And those can be cash donations that you make to the FFA. And you know what? Drop your business card in the bin because they always are looking to have folks to give of their time as well. Maybe you can be a judge for whether it's state, district, regional events. You could be judging public speaking. You could be one of the judges taking reasons for livestock judging and so much more. Ag sales, communications. Love to have you be a part of all the things that the FFA does. So Again, mark your calendar. That's January 18th out in Bismarck. That is the inaugural ball for Governor-elect Kelly Armstrong. Wow, I almost elevated him one more notch higher, all the way to president. I wonder if his campaign group knows about that. Right. Maybe I should send them a message. Let them know what they've gotten themselves into. So, and if you are one of those students who's participating in Ag Communications Contest Public Speaking, don't forget to send me your applications. I want to make sure to start scheduling our Weather and Ag in Focus Assistant Ag Director. I'm looking for students who are high school age through college, the same time that you age out of FFA or 4-H at age 21. I need these students to start coming. I need somebody, a different person every month that joins us, Dean. They'll be in the office with us at the weather office. We'll plan ahead on what headlines we're going to talk about, questions for guests that we'll be interviewing, and so much more. I want to give kids a great experience of what it's like to be behind the scenes and then on radio. So, Addison, maybe we can get you a protege to run the board at the same time. Maybe that'll work too.
I would like that. There are days where a second set of hands on the board would be helpful, actually.
Hey, I'll come in and help you.
Excellent.
I don't know if we want that, though.
You stay. You keep your job on the mic over there. I retract my statement. I can do this.
I've heard I'm good at pushing buttons, though.
That you are, Dean.
All in a different way. So, all right, well, Dean, we don't have a guest today, but we've got lots of other things to talk about.
We do, yes.
So many headlines that we haven't gotten to, and we're going to want to get that done. But above all, to you as listeners today, if you have questions for us, you can reach us on the Red Wing Shoe Line, 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We're going to come back and start answering some of those things right after this. Welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for being here. And especially if you're joining us on the live streams, that would be on Facebook, YouTube, or Acres TV. We're glad to have you. You can watch all the antics live and in person, you might say. So we appreciate you doing that. And if you have questions as we go along with our discussions today, you are more than welcome to reach out at 701-293-9000. Plus, Dean and I check our emails, weatherorag@flagfamily.com. Dean, we did have a guest for today, and actually it was Don Hartman who joined us previously. He is president of the Outstanding Farmers of America. But Don had to call me a couple days ago and cancel because he had been scheduled for a knee surgery and an opening happened for today. And he thought maybe he shouldn't come on air under anesthesia.
Yeah, probably good idea.
I thought it would be great.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. He might have said things that might not have been appropriate under anesthesia.
Well, so Don farms in New Mexico. He's 30 miles off the Mexican border. And he raises cotton, hatch chilies, and a number of other products. And so I was interested in talking with him about those things. What we did do, though, is go ahead and reschedule Don for another time. So we won't miss that interview. We'll get to talk with Don again. But he just felt that anesthesia might not be his best friend right now, which is too bad. So one thing that's going on in town, and Dean, you even saw this and made mention of it, American Crystal Sugar's annual meeting's happening.
Yeah.
What have you heard?
Well, I was reading an article that this was, I believe, they had a record produce, record output this year, third year in a row.
It's been really good.
Wow.
Now they've done well. Go ahead.
Is this, the last 3 years, now, keep in mind, the weather over the last 3 years has not been very friendly. I mean, one year it is, and next year it's not. How does the sugar beet crop keep such consistency over a 3 year span?
Well, some would say a wing and a prayer, but the reality is some crops do better when we have slightly drier conditions. And we also said the same thing about a corn crop this fall. We were wet early on and then we went ahead and saw a big changeover as we got later in the summer. It was often referred to as a flash drought where we ran out of moisture. Or so we thought, but our subsoil was really keeping up for a number of crops, and even sugar beets felt that way. So just to give some statistics, the 2023 sugar beet crop produced on average 31.9 tons per acre. So we don't measure sugar beets in bushels, we measure those in tons. Growers harvested a record total of 12.7 million sugar beets, and the content was above average at 18.5% sugar content in the beets. Now,
The increased sugar content, favorable sugar, pulp, and molasses markets really increased net payments for American Crystal growers. When we look at production for 2024, American Crystal will tell you it was unprecedented. They had a total of 13.2 million tons of beets, so that is quite an increase over 12.7 million tons harvested. Sugar beet storage and consistent slice rates were a critical focus. When we say storage and slice rates, when you drive through areas of the Red River Valley and you see sugar beet piles, they look like, some would call them big silage piles. They're tarped with white tarps. Mm-hmm. They have tubing that runs through the bottom of the pile that's ventilated. It's perforated. And then there are big air inductors on the end. And I always think they look like a bird's mouth. They open up like this, if you can see me on the live stream where I made a V with my hands. And they open up to suck in cold air and then blow it through the pile to freeze the pile so that they store well underneath those tarps. And that's vital to what American Crystal can do up here, because we had some warmer days last year, warmed up on us, and we didn't want to see hot spots in those piles. Well, with that and with their consistent slice, which means when they're bringing the beets into the plant to be processed and they consistently keep the plant going without major breakdowns or time gaps in their slicing, that helps as well to get them through their operations. So this was a new record for tons harvested and also exceptional sugar content at 18.5% sugar. So market conditions are expected to soften. Sugar beet payment will be down a little bit for the 24 crop versus what it was in the high of 2023. But overall, sugar beet growers feel like they've probably had a pretty great harvest and consistent marketplace. Sugar beets are a little different to raise. You have a lot of risk. You have much higher expenses in seed and fertilizer, especially equipment. A lot more labor is required. And for folks to come out with profit doesn't always happen.
Is it more of a risk reward, like a higher reward? Does that come along with the higher risk?
Yep, higher risk, higher reward. Same with potato growers. Often potatoes are thought of to be feast or famine. You're either really, really doing well or you're not doing well at all. So things have probably gotten better to level out and have a steady production over the last few years, just simply in the fact that our technologies have really improved. Okay. When I first started late in the 90s in the industry, we literally had to spray sugar beets on about 8-day window in order to keep weeds maintained. And we don't have to go that far now.
Okay. Speaking of potatoes, mm-hmm. and you might not have the answer, how have the crops been this year, or let's say just over the last year? And I've got a follow-up question. You probably know where I'm going with this, but how has the potato crop been over the last 6 months or so?
I think potatoes have been, as far as a yield, pretty good. What's also helped is they weren't harvested in wet mud, and so your storage ability is much better as well. And so potatoes that were harvested now are going into warehouses that will then be processed or sold through the winter and then over the next many months until they use up that whole crop. So essentially what was harvested right now doesn't always show up on your plate from fall to Christmas time. There's a little bit of a gap in there until everything gets harvested and processed.
Okay, the reason I ask is, you know, supply and demand will dictate prices a lot. I don't know if you've noticed, but the price of potatoes in the store have literally gone up 60%, if not more. That's why I was asking, you know, was there a bad crop somewhere? Is the supply low? What's going on?
I'm gonna look at a different perspective on that. Fertilizer costs are tremendously higher, and potatoes are a crop that goes through a lot of pounds of fertilizer per acre. So when you think about the fertilizer cost, where has diesel cost been in the last few years? Because potatoes are one that has to have a lot of transportation behind it. That's going to add to it. And potatoes also have a fairly high labor cost that it's associated with them as well. So yeah, I see potatoes going up. I think also demand for potatoes has been a lot higher. And whether or not you have high input costs, demand will dictate an increase in price many times too.
So we got to get the cost of fertilizer and diesel fuel down is what you're saying.
It would be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know of any farmer who would complain if you had cheaper diesel fuel and fertilizer. Now, is diesel fuel at an all-time high? It's not.
No.
But nobody ever complains when it gets lower because this will make you laugh, but I will remember the day forever. We were in town after church on a Sunday, and my dad was filling the family car, the 1979 Thunderbird with the great big long nose in front of it. And I remember him saying, "I can't believe gas just went over $1 a gallon."
Remember those days?
My, how things have changed.
I was watching, was it Beverly Hills Cop? And that was what, back in the 90s?
80s.
80s?
No, it was the 80s.
And one of the, and so in the background, you know, they were at, they were showing a gas station across the street with the price of gas.
Yeah.
76 cents a gallon. Said, oh man.
Gosh, I think that movie was like 1984, 85. So I wouldn't be surprised that that was the case.
Yeah. And that was shot out in obviously they were shooting that supposedly in LA. Oh, and if that was shot, and then, you know, prices are notoriously higher out there. So, I can't, 84, 85. Yeah. I know gas was cheap. I don't, but wow. Yeah. Let's get back.
Oh yeah. I remember when it went over a buck and dad was not impressed. So, oh well. All right. It is 1:31 in the afternoon. Bottom of the hour news is to follow. Don't go anywhere. We have way more headlines to talk about as well as weather.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Again, want to thank everybody for joining us on this Friday. Temperatures out there hugging that 30 degree mark. And as we said earlier, we're expecting low 40s as we head into tomorrow. So we'll melt away a little bit of this ice and snow before colder weather next week. And we'll detail a little bit more of the forecast a little bit later.
You know, Dean, you know what started that warm up for us? At least I'm just going to guess.
What?
And that is probably, that's probably all of the listeners who came out to see us on Sunday night for our benefit for our coworker, Jay Stenman. Jace does primetime sports. He has been Bonnie's co-host for Bonnie and Friends in the Morning, and he just does a fabulous job around the station. He's, you know, been the pinch hitter for us from time to time here in Weather and Ag and Focus. Thanks to the generosity of so many who have joined us at our benefit on Sunday night, and through Lend a Hand, we are able to deliver somewhere in the neighborhood of about $30,000 to Jace's family to help them out with the expenses since he suffered a massive heart attack followed by a heart transplant.
Right.
Big deals.
And one of the items that we still have for auction, and I believe that ends at 5 o'clock today. Is the Trump signed hat, Make America Great Again, and it's got the pen that he signed that hat with at the White House. All of that. And I think the bidding is over $6,000 for that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's good news right there. Just the people that came out for that have just been so great, and just to be able to help raise money for Jace, and he's got a long road ahead of him, but boy oh boy, he's pushing through. We're gonna go down and visit him this weekend. He's down in the Twin Cities, so we're gonna take a visit to, you know, it's always nice to see visitors, and it kind of perks up your spirits until we walk in the room, but we might sneak a little something extra for him. I don't know if the doctors will
excellent
like that. We better be careful though.
Well, he's been passing his tests so that there hasn't been any rejection of the heart, so we're really happy to see that Jace's recovery is coming along well. And for those of you who have listened to us for a long time, you also know that we are ramping up as WDAY to give away a trip for two to see the Eagles at the Sphere in Las Vegas. We had a qualifier just the other day that we were able to get through our show, and we're going to continue doing that. In fact, I believe we need to get a qualifier through our show next week, Dean, probably on, I think it's Wednesday and Thursday.
It is.
So folks, pay attention. When we play the right sounder, when you're listening to us, we're going to get you qualified to possibly win this trip to Vegas. It will give you round-trip airfare for two, a hotel stay, and two tickets to see the Eagles on Saturday, January 25th.
That's awesome. And I just got an email. Actually, the email came earlier. Hmm. I just read this from Scott on our sister station. He said the with the bidding for the hat, for the autographed Trump hat, along with the pen that was signed, it was signed by, it's up over $6,000. But also a big hats off to Senator Kevin Cramer. He is going to match whatever the winning bid is. So that's fantastic news. So big thank you and big shout out to Senator Kevin Cramer for doing that. And again, if you're interested in bidding on this hat, you can find it on our Big Deals page. So log on to that. And yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what this ends up going for. But boy, oh boy. I mean, for just the people in this community are just beyond outstanding. They really are.
Well, we appreciate that. And all the questions that people send us and are really curious what we're doing behind the scenes. I love it when I get homework from folks. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure to share today was what happens in the community for NDSU. There are votes for top professors, and some of the award recipients are familiar names to many of us in agriculture. A research award for excellence in teaching was given to Dr. Bill Wilson. Many of you have taken ag economics classes from Wild Bill, and he's been long noted as an outstanding teacher and researcher at NDSU. Eric Hansen also received an award for excellence in teaching. He is in the Department of Agribusiness and Applied Economics. Tara Swanson, who's a senior lecturer in the Department of Animal Sciences. Matt Olhoff, he's a senior lecturer with Ag and Biosystems Engineering. Sam Markell, plant pathologist. He received the Excellence in Extension Award. And Bison Strides Equine Assisted Services Program, we've had them as a guest here on the show. They also were given a celebration award for their work to empower and provide diversity. They do equine training and therapy with so many who need it here in our community. So congratulations to all of those winners up at NDSU.
That's
now,
great.
If we recall, we had wildfires back in October that were pretty tragic to a lot of areas in western North Dakota.
Very dry out there.
North Dakota.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not better yet, though, is it, Dean?
It's really not.
You haven't really seen anything coming.
Nope.
No.
And according to the LRC, they're going to be one of the drier areas that really probably won't recoup a whole lot from the drought conditions. All it takes is that one storm, though, especially during the spring, to provide a good, healthy soaking. Just don't see it. Not, you know, I mean, just the long term doesn't look good for the western part of the state, unfortunately.
We're going to hope for better things for all of them. But something that is better for them is that North Dakota Stockmen's Association and Stockmen's Foundation has created a fund called Out of the Ashes. And they started out with a grant of $50,000 towards fencing supplies to help rebuild barns and replenish livestock herds. So many of the things that happened out in western North Dakota also included burning up hay supplies, feedstuffs that were needed for those animals. Well, that fund has grown tremendously. It's now over $750,000. Wow. And if you know of folks who could apply for that, who were affected by the wildfires, they can find that application for the Out of the Ashes Fund at ndstockman.org or drop me an email, ag@flagfamily.com, and I will be happy to share the email address with you so that you can go ahead and fill out an application for those who are going to need it most. Really want to help those people out whenever we can.
That's great. Good deal.
Yeah. Now, Fridays are always about being positive and maybe even a little bit safe. So, skid steers. Most of us call them a bobcat, the same way we call a box of tissues a Kleenex. Bobcat has become the ubiquitous name for skid steer loaders, even though they're made by multiple manufacturers around the region. Well, don't let your guard down. We use skid steers as a tremendous tool on the farm in so many ways. But now as we get into the wintertime, they're used for snow removal and construction projects. A reminder, whether you're in ag or construction, don't forget the safety features of those skid steers. They're only built for one person, so let's not be taking a bunch of passengers in there. You know, even if it's just your little kids, etc., skid steers aren't meant to have somebody extra in there with you. And if you put a heavy payload in the bucket, particularly like hay bales, and lift them high, you can over-center and throw that entire machine forward. That's a safety hazard as well. Be careful when you're operating them. Watch out for blind spots. But even if you're not the operator, but you're somewhere around those skid steers, make sure that you're not in a blind spot, because too often folks can be backed over with the quick turning radius on a skid steer. They could turn quickly and hit you. Don't let that be you. Stay out of their way. We'd want to make sure that we don't have any more farm accidents than already occur. So let's all just be a little bit more careful out there. I know that shields and guards are sometimes cussed and cursed by those who use those machines the most, but they're there for a purpose. So let's try to remain safe and not let bad things happen when we're using our skid steers on a daily basis.
Exactly.
Just a couple of reminders. Yeah. Yeah, we've had a lot of things happen in this last week. We've had snowfall sometime in the last couple of weeks, but before that, it was really dry. We saw a lot of dust coming in as we were bringing calves in off of pasture, loading them into trucks, etc. That brings on dust pneumonia. And so one of the ways that you can try to keep that dust down, well, now that we've got snow, that's certainly going to do it. But if you're working in dusty conditions with calves, sometimes you have to add some water to the feedlot to try to keep the dust from blowing in them. You know, calves can be vaccinated for pneumonia to try to prevent them from being ill. And just overall, those conditions are something you maybe want to try to avoid. Maybe you wait, find a different place to be loading those animals so you don't get the dust. Calves are more susceptible to it because, let's face it, they're smaller and lower to the ground. They're the ones that are going to ingest it the most. So try to find ways, maybe even if it comes to scraping out the pens, cleaning them up a little bit so that there's less dust when you're out there with them. Right now we're thinking about the overall health of those animals that came in off pasture, and it won't be long. We'll have spring calving coming along really soon.
Right.
And when you think about it, this cycle moves pretty fast. You talk about the LRC cycle, Dean, but we're right. already harvested a crop and getting ready to think about next year.
Isn't that crazy?
I
know.
Quickly.
Yeah. I mean, Christmas right around the corner.
Quick.
So, we don't have, spring will be there before you know it. And after about another 14 days, our days start getting longer.
Thank you. I'm very excited for that.
See?
Thank you.
Yeah.
So yes.
Always something positive to look for.
Well, speaking of a positive and something that's looking forward to, students in Yankton, South Dakota at their Career and Technical Center are actually farming this year. They have 14 acres that they rent from a company next door. That company is actually a manufacturer who specializes in equipment for asphalt roads and aggregate processing. But they had this 14 acres they weren't using. So the school, the ag kids, approached this company and asked if we could farm on that 14 acres. They can. And in fact, the company donates the rent back to the school for them to use for the kids. And the kids are so involved, they're doing hybrid and variety trials on that land. They're even having to do some updates on planters. They've been putting in the closure wheels and updating the precision work on the planter. So way to get hands-on right at the high school level. These kids are actually farming.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That's very neat.
Yeah, and we've got Tom on line one. Tom, welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. What's on your mind?
Hey, just real quick, want to add one more safety thing to Bridget's list is make sure the person that is operating the skid steer is qualified and knows what they're doing. Because a lot of us older folks, I'll put myself in there, are all hand-controlled skid steers now. And a lot of them are used to hand and foot. And
yes.
The all hand, if you're not used to whatever type of skid steer it is, it can make an efficient piece of machinery very dangerous very quickly.
He's exactly right. Those operations, if you're not familiar with them, and the tight control that you have on a skid steer, how quick and responsive they are, really can put you in a precarious position really fast. So Tom's got a great point. Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Yep. So they used to be, so now they're all hand steered before they were, yeah. there was foot control.
The one that my dad had, you used your feet for certain operations. Okay. And then there were also like two joysticks in front of him that he used as well. And right. a lot of that has been re-engineered, but Tom's right. Some of those older machines, a lot different than what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, good advice. Good advice. All right. Well, yeah. We're going to take a little break here, pay some bills, and when we come back, we'll recap the weather, hit on a few more ag topics. If you've got something that's on your mind you want to talk about, shoot us a call, 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. I want to thank everybody for joining us on this Friday, December 6th. Christmas just a little over a few weeks away. Man, hard to believe. Coming up on that time of the year already. Well, Bridget, we're talking about, what are we going to hit on next? Virtual fencing.
Well, I want to talk about virtual fencing, but you just made a great point where you said Christmas is coming and all the holiday festivities. I remember sort of the show Seinfeld when I was a kid. And wasn't there something Festivus, the airing of the grievances? Was that yes. what it was called?
Festivus for the okay. rest of us.
Okay, there we go. So here's what I want to propose. I want to throw this out there to all of our listeners, especially if you are someone who farms or ranches. What are your grievances for 2024? Was it drought? Was it too much rain? Was it planting late corn? Was it a bad seed corn? Was it the cows that wouldn't stay in the pasture? What are those grievances? And I'm going to ask you to start emailing them to me, because I'll start to share those over the next few weeks as we air our grievances for agriculture for 2024. So people can reach me, ag@flagfamily.com.
I like that's a good idea. I like it.
These ought to be good.
Oh, yeah.
It could be anything from interest rates to apps that don't work to the day the satellites failed everybody's planters back on Mother's Day weekend. There could be all sorts of grievances that happened this year. I'll be curious to hear what they are.
Interesting.
We'll start a list. Okay. All right. So back to virtual fencing. This is something we've talked about before, but it really takes hold now that we've had some of these wildfires. Because if you are a rancher who grazes a federal land, like a BLM land, you have a obligation to not graze that land for a 2-year period after a wildfire. That's a requirement. But you got to have a place to put the cows, right? You don't have pasture. Your fences are burned up. What are you going to do? And this is an example that came out of a California ranch. This is a 6th-generation farm called the Mount Echo Ranch in Amador County. What happened for them was after the Caldor fire in 2021, they realized that to replace 7 miles of fencing was going to cost them $300,000. 7 miles of fence. That's post, that's wire, corner post, the whole nine yards. And they just thought that's way too much. So they made an investment of about $30,000 into virtual fencing, meaning they put GPS fitted collars on their cows. It was $30,000 in an upfront cost, and then the base station was about another $8,000 on top of that. What does that do with virtual fencing? Well, it's kind of like the virtual fencing for your dog, but bigger. So there's an invisible boundary, and when the animal crosses the boundary, the collar emits an audible noise so that the animal will go back where it belongs. That works for the until the animal doesn't want to go back, then it will send out a mild electric shock to get them to go back. Now, realistically, the audible warning works about 75% of the time. There's that one, there's always one in the herd that doesn't want to go back, and that remaining 25% have to get the little shock to make them understand that they have to go back within what their virtual fence was. And really, in 3 weeks, 95% of the herd was responding to audible cues. So cows are trainable and they caught on really fast. And this virtual fencing thing is cool.
So you're saying, okay, so it's unless I heard you wrong, it's about the same pricing, right? Or a little cheaper?
No, it's cheaper. Yeah, because the 7 miles of fencing was $300,000, whereas the collars with the base station was probably closer to $40,000.
Oh, that's a heck of a... So is this
drop a zero.
Oh, yeah. Is this something that's catching on more and more now? Because, I mean, that sounds like a no-brainer.
Well, especially if you're in rough terrain. You know, if you're in areas where you have to go in by horseback to try to bring cattle out, sometimes that can take you up to a week going in and out, trying to keep finding them. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the virtual collars, they could pinpoint the GPS location. They had their entire herd out in 3 days. So that's efficiency. You can line up trucks. You can get all the animals out at the same time.
Right.
That type of thing. The collars, probably going to get to be more accurate. Also, you can tell it's real time. If all of a sudden that animal's moving at 65 miles an hour, well, it didn't sprout wings. It's probably getting rustled.
Right.
So you're going to be able to track down where your animal went. So good. Unique little things to see.
Good point.
Yeah. So back to the weather before we end for today.
Yeah, let's get a quick recap on the weather. We've got cloudy skies out there right now. Temperatures are right around that 30-degree mark, and that's where they're going to stay for the rest of the afternoon, but mainly cloudy skies. And we'll see the clouds start to break up a little bit tonight, but still partly to mostly cloudy with temperatures in the mid-20s, so we're not going to drop off much. And then we'll see a little bit more sunshine tomorrow. Highs in the low 40s tomorrow. It's going to be pretty nice, but clouds roll back in. We'll see rain. That's right, rain come into the area Sunday afternoon, changing to light snow as we head into Monday morning. So that'll do it for me and Bridget. I want everybody to have a great weekend. Don't go anywhere. The number one show in the country, the Jay Thomas Show. It's coming up next.